lane, 15-10, touchdown, Chargers!
Well, what's up, guys? Welcome into a brand new episode of Chargers Weekly. As always, joined by Mad Money Smith. Money, it's been a while since you and I did this pod. I think Indy was our last stop together, and man, so much has transpired. You and Popper did a great episode of Chargers Weekly last Thursday. A few hours later, we get the news that Keenan Allen traded to the Chicago Bears, and I think that's probably the obvious starting point.
Yeah, well, I think I'll start with, I didn't know what happened to you, you know? I didn't know if one of those teams plucked you and stole you from us because we were surrounded by the Raiders and the Titans and the Jags and the Texans, and we're all getting all buddy-buddy, and I was like, wow, maybe Chris got an offer and he just ghosted us. That little Irish goodbye here in the St. Patrick's Day time frame.
They saw the broad shoulders. Bring Chris in for a pro day workout, right?
Exactly right. But yeah, a huge thank you to Lance Zierlein. Did it 2 weeks ago coming out of the combine.
Amazing.
And Popper last week. And great pods. Appreciate those guys for helping us out there for a couple weeks. But, you know, the Popper pod was great. We ended up doing like an hour and 15 minutes and had sort of plotted a course and detailed a path for how we thought this thing was going to work out with what little money they had. About 5 to 6 hours later, that whole pod was, it was a bummer is what it was, because it's not just the departure of Keenan, but it's the money. I mean, the fact that you're able to trade him, that's the thing that people are, you know, like I just posted the TV show I do with Lorenzo on Bally's that airs for Believe. And the title on there was sort of a little something about Keenan and stuff that we're going to get into here on the pod in a much more longer form conversation. But someone had wrote, well, if it was a second or a third, I would have felt better as opposed to a fourth. And it's like, well, don't look at it as a fourth. Look at it as a fourth and $24 million. Like someone took $24 million that's going to be paid to a 32-year-old receiver in the last year of his deal. And that's why Justin Fields could only fetch a sixth, because he's in the last year and you either have to pick up that $25 million fifth-year option or it's the last year. So I think it's important for people to remember the compensation is lower because the contract status, the amount of money, the 32-year-old age at the start of the season, like there's so many things that go into it. So look at it as, yes, the Bears not only gave the Chargers a fourth, but they took all $24 million off that cap. And, you know, technically $32 million. It's really 24 of money that goes out. And so that's what the Chargers get back in return, is after they get $39 million of relief with the restructures to Joey and Khalil, with the trading of Keenan, you take in the $14 million rookie pool as it's projected right now, if they stick with all of their picks, and you've got $25 million to spend. You've got $25 million of maneuverability under the cap now.
Buddy, there's just a lot of emotion, I think, involved in this decision for Chargers fans, and I get it. Keenan was the longest tenured Charger. You want to talk about maybe best Chargers receiver of all time. There's a guy named Bambi who's in the Hall of Fame. But what Keenan has done in this era, his consistency, some amazing epic games, whether in San Diego, Los Angeles. I think Chargers fans wanted to see Keenan in powder blue for the rest of his career. And that's natural for every player that's beloved. So I see both sides. Both sides were correct. Keenan was correct in saying, I'm not going to take a pay cut coming off that season. And Joe Ortiz and the front office and Jim Harbaugh, they have decisions to make that are directly related to the salary cap and moving forward in a way where you are cap compliant, your cap is healthy moving forward, and you were in a best position to win a Super Bowl here in the next couple of years. Could Keenan have done that? Absolutely. You know, Jim Harbaugh name-checked Keenan Allen multiple times, but things change. It comes down to financials. And I, like everybody else, going to miss Keenan Allen in the Chargers uniform. But I 100% understand why this move needed to be made. And I just think it was a little bit surprising because we talked about the big four all offseason money. And who are they going to be? Is it going to be one edge rusher and one wide receiver? I thought that we probably assumed that that was going to be the case, but the Chargers elected to restructure Joey and Khalil, and then Mike and Keenan no longer on this team.
So you put it perfectly, Chris, in terms of the Keenan's got the right coming off in 12 games, 108 catches and 1,100 yards.
No
and,
doubt.
I think it was 7 touchdowns. He's got the right to say, I'm not taking a pay cut. But you go in knowing that when you say that, you're probably gone. You know, the second you take that stand, you're probably going to be out the door because you can't. I think in terms of what Joe Ortiz was faced with, you can't ask Khalil Mack to restructure coming off the year that he had and him be willing to do that and to help you say, hey, we need to push in the same direction. I'm going to get you your money. We're going to convert some to signing bonus. But if you can help me out here, this is sort of what we need to do to execute our vision. And for Khalil coming off a career year to say, all right, let's do it. You know, Joe is a different story because he hasn't been able to stay healthy, but the guy gave back $7 million. So
yeah.
He takes a huge haircut, and then to have Keenan come in and say, no, nothing, it puts you in a tough spot with those two guys that already restructured, that already kind of put you in that position where, well, it's hard for me to now go back to Khalil Mack, who had that year last year, and say, yeah, here we are. And so I think to Keenan's side, I think I think the second you take that position, you probably know that it's going to be over.
Yeah.
I don't think he was surprised one bit once he took, the stance of I'm not taking a pay cut that he was going to be moved. And I think for the Chargers, that's a lot of money. And for people that are saying, well, you missed the first round of free agency, you could have got Calvin Ridley or one of these other receivers, Gabe Davis to replace him. Don't forget, you got to re-sign your own. Rashawn Slater's up for an extension. So think of that $25 million bucks that you now have to spend. Well, now you can extend him and you can use that last year of the rookie deal and the fifth year option and all of those things to lower the overall annual value by doing an extension right now. We know Rashawn Slater is going to be one of the top five, maybe top three highest paid left tackles. And you saw what the offensive line market looked like this offseason. It exploded. I mean, Robert Hunt got a $100 million deal for being an average guard. So I think this money, as opposed to saying, are we going to go sign Stephon Gilmore? Are we going to sign Xavier Howard? Are we going to sign Isaiah Simmons? Are we going to sign, don't think of it like that. I would probably think of it more in terms of, this very well could end up being extensions for Josh Palmer and Rashawn Slater. And this is the money they needed to get the youth tied up at team-friendly deals so you can get that average annual value to be a little bit lower, and maybe get a bargain here. If you believe in Josh Palmer, which we've talked about repeatedly on this show, I do. I believe in him. Anytime that guy was asked to step in as a starter, pretty much would put up a 100-yard game. And I got no problem with trying to get him at a bargain rate, considering what, like I said, those Calvin Ridley deals look like, what these extensions have looked like in the wide receiver market. I'd love to get him at a lower number and lock him up for the next 3-4 years.
So it's March 21st, and I think when fans see what the wide receiving room looks like right now, you get a little panic because, Justin's top three weapons, if you include Austin, out the door. Four weapons, if you count Gerald Everett, right?
Gerald Everett.
But it's March 21st. Okay, and now that Mike is out and Keenan is out and the tight end room is remade, this is a philosophical move, I think, too, to get rid of these two wide receivers, no doubt. And also, money, we talked at the combine so much about trading out of five. Well, guess what? There's three blue chip wide receivers, and two, maybe three of them are going to be staring at you at number five overall. So it gives me a little bit of pause when it comes to trading out of five now if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there or Malik Nabers. So, a lot of people are saying Nabers is the number one receiver in this draft, not Harrison. Roma Dunze, who we've talked about. It would give me pause to trade back more than three or four spots to ensure that I get one of those guys. And the last week, and this is why we always say free agency dictates a lot of what we see in the draft. And certainly this week has illustrated a lot of what the Chargers could do with that fifth overall pick.
Sure. So I'm gonna get into it. And we've done this, you know, repeatedly week after week. I feel like I'm sort of beating that dead horse, and I don't mean to, but with the trade, it just seemed like there was this wave. And I get it. You know, I totally get it. But let's just look at the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. Who's their number one wide receiver? It's not a wide receiver. It's a tight end. You know, who's their number two option? It's a running back, Isaiah Pacheco. You know, and those, both of those players, it goes Patrick Mahomes, defense. That's how the Chiefs just won a Super Bowl, by having an incredible quarterback that's able to make plays. And then right behind Patrick Mahomes is Chris Jones, Nick Bolton, Trent McDuffie, L'Jarius Sneed. Like, the defense carried the Chiefs this year. That's who carried them. The team from that represented the NFC, it was not Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. It was a defense, you know, led by those two linebackers and Nick Bosa, you know, Greenlaw and Warner, and Nick Bosa up front, and Eric Armstead up front, and Christian McCaffrey. That's what carried that offense. But do not lose sight of how Jim Harbaugh wants to play football. He every single place he has been has not been spread it out and throw it around. You know what the narrative surrounding JJ McCarthy this year is, how little opportunity he had to showcase his ability because of how Jim Harbaugh wanted to play football, because he wanted to run it with Blake Corum, because he wanted to lean on Jesse Minner's defense, because he wanted to be incredibly physical and beat the hell out of his opponent. And it led to a national championship. Just because they traded Keenan Allen does not mean that all of a sudden Jim Harbaugh is going to decide that he needs a blue chip wide receiver. It's just not how he plays football. It's not how he coaches football. And I think it's so important to remember, he was a quarterback. It's not like Jim Harbaugh was defensive end and defensive coordinator, and he's coming into L.A. and like, I don't care about this Justin Herbert guy. We're going to play defense. No, he's a quarterback. He knows what works. He has had success. He has had success with other quarterbacks. And Jesse, you know, J.J. McCarthy is going to get drafted in the top five. You know, Minnesota does not trade for number 23 in order to take somebody at 11 because they really thought there was going to be somebody else at 23. No, they have those two picks because they want to trade up in the draft. And maybe it's, they feel like Drake May is slipping, which would be crazy. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so.
But maybe I mean, they're going to go 1, 2, 3, but maybe McCarthy has raised his hand enough that they believe that they need to get up there to get him. So
Money, for the sake of that conversation, the Chargers would have the number one overall pick of non-quarterbacks, right? If we're saying Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy, the Chargers are sitting pretty to take the best player on their board or a trade back.
And I think that's where it's going to be interesting, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Like if Marvin Harrison Jr. is sitting there at number five.
Who didn't participate in his pro day, by the way.
No, I think he's just like, whatever. I'm good. I don't care. You got, you know, I'll come to the teams, or maybe he even doesn't even care about that. Just like, here's the tape. I'm not playing these other games. You know, you have got 3 years of tape on me. Go watch it and decide whether or not you think I should be the number one pick or the number 100 pick. But that's what I'm doing in this draft process. You can watch all of those games. It's available to you in all 22, high end zone, back end zone. You can take whichever view you want, and you can watch me play.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm doing. And that's fine. Because the tape is incredible, you know. So there's a little bit of that going on this year in what these players are now. You know, this NIL era of player is certainly approaching the draft considerably different than. The elite players. Look, everybody else has got to play the game, but the top, where Caleb wouldn't do the medicals and will release his medicals if he feels as though a team needs to see them outside of, you know, if he goes to see the Bears and they say, we're not trading out and we're taking you number one, then he's fine. He's like, whatever. All right, you're taking me number one. I'm not, no one else needs to see anything. Here's what I have. If that changes, then we'll adjust. And I almost feel like Marvin Harrison Jr.'s sort of in that same boat. But that's why I think it's going to be important for fans. And it's going to be important for Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh to craft their message, you know, knowing that you do have to serve the fans to some degree. Yes, they will be quiet if you win. But when you have people that are respected in this business that have Marvin Harrison Jr. at number one or number two in terms of how what they view the talent as in this draft, it's going to and you have a wide receiver room that is now, you know, void of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, you're probably going to have to answer some questions. But I think it's important to remember that maybe they just don't care because that's not what they value. They don't value that position like other teams do when it comes to winning football games. And it's always important to remember that, you know, right, Chris? Who's like, who's building the team?
Yeah.
What do they place an emphasis on?
Well, it's for Harbaugh too. I mean, it starts in the trenches. And if they can move back a few spots and accrue a pick, get Rome Odunze, let's say at 9 or 10 or whatever, the goal is to serve the fans through trying to win a Super Bowl, right? And that's what I think. It's been tough. I think it's been kind of an emotional roller coaster for Charger fans because you've been so excited about seeing Jim Harbaugh as the head coach and you know, to see some of these players that you're accustomed to seeing in powder blue and guys like Keenan and Mike who have been there for a long time and Austin, it's probably a little jarring to see Keenan Allen, excuse me, at Caleb Williams Pro Day wearing Bears colors. But the goal for Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh is to win a Super Bowl, not to go to the playoffs, not to win a playoff game. It's to go to a Super Bowl. And that requires an overhaul and a deconstruction. And this is part of the deconstruction process. So whatever they do at 5, whether they trade back, whether they get that blue chip wide receiver, I firmly believe that Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh are on the same page in terms of building this team. This is not going to be a one-year project. This is going to be a sustained plan to make sure that Justin Herbert is in the playoffs as consistently as Patrick Mahomes is. And that's what's been missing over the last few years, Bunny.
Right, and that's like that's one of the things that really hit me. Like it truly hit me this week. Is that all of these people in the media and so many fans that I've been interacting with, and I don't fault them. Like, understand that. I get it. Justin Herbert is a unique talent, and you want to maximize his talents as best as possible. But you have hired he threw for 5,000 yards in his rookie season. Like, it's not like Justin Herbert hasn't had incredible seasons of statistics, and they have not bore any fruit.
Exactly.
There's not a single playoff win in any of those. Now, conversely, Jim Harbaugh has been to back-to-back-to-back playoffs, has led to Ryan Day being on the hot seat at Ohio State, has won a national championship, went to back-to-back NFC championships with the San Francisco 49ers, led Stanford to a 12-win season, San Diego to back-to-back 11-win seasons, playing football a certain way. What do you want? You want Herbert to have a 5,000-yard season and a number one receiver, or do you want to put your faith in the guy that has built something a certain way every stop where he has been and trust him like, hey, this is how I think we need to play football and win football. This is my philosophy, and this is how we're going to play it. Like, to me, let's try that.
Yeah.
Let's try it this way. Let's see if the guy who's done it everywhere he's been is onto something here about how he wants to play football. And if that means, even if that means, Chris, no Rome Odunze, even if that means they still take the tackle at 11, and look, I don't know if that's going to be available. I think you look at what Mossy did in Arizona last year when they had the number 3 pick and he trades back and then he trades up, you know, he trades back so the Texans can take Will Anderson, and then he trades up with Detroit so he can still get his offensive tackle, you know, so he can still get his Paris Johnson. So he goes from 3 to, I think, 12 and then 12 to 6. And he just maneuvered the board masterfully last year. And now I'm looking at the full list of Arizona picks this year. 4, 27, 35, 66, 71, 90, 104. That is seven picks in the top 104. And you got a defensive head coach that gave teams as much as they could handle in a lot of those games last year with very little talent on that defensive side of the ball. Like, I don't see why he's like, yeah, we got to go get Marvin Harrison. No, I think he'll be like, whatever, man. Give me 11, 23, 27, 35. We're going to restock this defense. Everybody is focused on these tackles and this offensive line. And I'm going to go out and get the D end, the D tackle, the corner, the number. Like, I'm just going to go load up on defense and stock that side of the ball with all of these picks. Like, and give it to Jonathan Gannon. Like, I could totally see him doing that instead of taking, you know, Marvin Harrison at four. And so I don't know if the Chargers are going to have, like, what I'm saying is I don't know if they're going to have 11 and 23 available. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So Muddy, what about the takeaways at the combine? What do we hear? Wide receiver's loaded. Wide receiver is freaking loaded from top to bottom in this draft. So if you don't get those three top guys, who's to say that the Chargers don't have Brian Thomas on their board just a tick below, right? Or Roman Wilson from Michigan, just a tick below, that Jim Harbaugh's familiar with. There are so many guys that you can get in later rounds that can really produce for Justin Herbert being the quarterback. And I want to just throw caution to everybody that because the wide receiver room looks like it does now, doesn't mean that's going to look like that in September. Doesn't mean trades aren't still going to be in the works. Doesn't mean that you're not going to add a veteran free agent right now. Doesn't mean that you're not going to draft a top quality wide receiver. And you've mentioned the fact that getting these guys on rookie deals is gold, right? Justin Jefferson's 100%. About to get $33 million. So if you can get, let's just put Keenan Allen and the potential of a Malik Nabers in his rookie year side by side. Keenan is Keenan, right? We know he's a proven commodity. But if Malik Nabers can do something similar to what Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase did their rookie year with Justin Herbert as your quarterback, you got a guy who's blowing it up for a fraction of the cost. So right. It's all about business, too. Like the emotion of this and seeing guys that you're used to seeing in a Chargers uniform, you have to kind of put that aside and compartmentalize that, rather, and understand that there's a business to this and there's a method to all the madness to set this team up for long-term success.
Yeah, it's funny. So I'm going to steal this from Joel Klatt, but it's also something that we've been talking about. So be sure you go check out Joel's, and we'll have to get him on the pod. He's great, obviously.
He's great.
And look, he's done all these Michigan games. He's sat in a room production meeting with Jim Harbaugh, God knows how many times, because they're doing Big Noon and he's the lead analyst. But Joel made the point that we've been making, that I've been making, you know, over the start of this podcast, but I feel like we've been discussing for the last 2 months in his mock draft. So he's got the Chargers trading back with the Vikings. The Vikings get their quarterback and JJ McCarthy. And he's like at 11, and he's still got Malik Nabers on his board. But at 11, who does he draft? Brock Bowers. He's like, Jim Harbaugh's not a wide receiver guy. Jim Harbaugh's a tight end guy. He likes, on his offense, he likes the conundrum and the confusion that a player like that makes.
Yeah.
Much more so than a number one receiver. And he's talking about, you know, and in his pod, he's like, look, I gave him Bowers at five, even though it was rich. I'm like, this is Harbaugh's guy. He is built for what Jim Harbaugh wants to do, and knowing what, you know, what Justin Herbert is capable of doing. And I think it's so important to put it into the context of there. I think there's two ways you can frame it. One, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. Once they got rid of Tyreek Hill, that wide receiver went out, but they still, like, think about it. They still had Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. That was still the ultimate mismatch the teams did not have an answer for. So think of it through that lens. Justin Herbert, Brock Bowers equals Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. Andy Reid is still capable of creating conflict with that matchup, even though he doesn't have a number one wide receiver. So you want that. Clearly, that's something that has value in the league because they've been able to do it in Kansas City for the last 7 years. you know, with Travis Kelce. He's been the straw that stirs the drink, not Tyreek Hill, when it comes to what Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have used to totally bust teams' defenses up. So you've got that. The other side of that is just everywhere that he's been. Everywhere Jim Harbaugh has been, it has not been a number one wide receiver, but there have been the tight ends. You know, there have been the Kobe Fleeners, the Vernon Davis. Now, look, I, in San Francisco, it was Vernon Davis. Jake Butt at Michigan before he had all the injuries that derailed his NFL career to some degree. Like, that's what it's been. It hasn't been, you know, it hasn't been wide receiver quarterback. It's been tight end quarterback. So maybe don't think so much about the outside receiver as, oh, here's an interesting weapon. And if we can trade back, and like DJ has him trading back with the Jets for Fuaga, the tackle, and
which I love, know, by the way. Fuaga would be amazing in this scheme.
100%. 100%. You know, go get the tackle. Fortify the line. Get that thing settled for the next 10 years. You know, to me, that makes sense as well. So I think there's a lot of different ways you can go about it. But, you know, and in terms of DJ's mock draft, look, I'm not going to push back on him. That guy's forgotten, you know, has forgotten more football than I'll ever know. But I need I need pretty much, like, he said. So I think he had them trading back to 10 and picking up the Jets second rounder next year, because that's what the Jimmy Johnson chart shows. That chart's going to need to be crumpled up and thrown out, because the money has changed so much from when that chart was built. And if you're trading up to get a wide receiver at 5 that you're now going to have cost control on for 5 years, knowing what these contracts look like, if you're, you know, you, the Vikings get Justin Jefferson at 22 at $1 million a year for all of these, like, it's just worth more. I'm sorry. It is worth more than what that chart dictates because of how much money you're saving for these blue chip players. So if I'm giving up 5, I need a heck of a lot more than next year's number 2 from a team that now has Aaron Rodgers and Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses. And you're going to get, sorry, I need more than the number 2 in 2025. You're giving me your 1 next year if you want to do that.
Money.
So that's,
I was just going to say, what's funny about that mock draft, it was chaos. The Jets took a receiver at 5. I think later that day, Mike Williams signed
right
with the Jets, right? So
we
have so much draft stuff to digest. And I really want to, over the next month, to really dig in on these tight ends, because, like, we'll talk about Disley and Hayden Hurst in that room and what a Brock Bowers could mean to that room. But just to put a pin in some of the guys who have left, as the voice of the Chargers, man, you've called some amazing games. I remember my favorite call. I always tell you it's the Kansas City call with Mike Williams, yeah, the 2-point conversion. Just countless Keenan games. I remember the one in 2018 in Pittsburgh, and where he had a million catches to come back and beat Pittsburgh on the road. A couple of years ago in Philly, just money on third down. That Minnesota game this year, just kind of reflect on some of the guys. You know, I give Austin a lot of credit for what he did here. You know, an undrafted free agent, 2017, worked his way up to a role and was a big part of this community. Michael Davis, same year, 2017, undrafted free agent, both those guys go to Washington. So anything you want to say about the guys who left, who I know you have personal relationships with, and you got to call some amazing games.
That's the sad part of it, right? Is, you know, selfishly, the idea that when their number gets retired or they are inducted into the Charger Hall of Fame, that those are the calls that are going to be played on the big scoreboard. And it's going to be my voice. And, like, yeah, selfishly, it's a bummer, you know, that now some of that is adjusted a little bit, because they're going to be, because Keenan's going to wear a Bear uniform, and Mike Williams is likely going to wear a Jet and probably another uniform after that, would be my guess. And same with Keenan, you know, perhaps after that. So it dilutes it a little bit, but you're just thankful for the moments that those guys delivered for you, that they gave you to All I'm doing is describing what I see in front of me. They're the ones that do all the hard work to make it happen. And, but yeah, I'm going to miss it. I mean, we just had it with the Minnesota game with Keenan and a double pass to Mike Williams in that game, no less. You know, those moments are gone, and it's certainly bittersweet. And I think for me, having worked with the Lakers and you worked there as well, Chris, so you know, like, I watched them trade Shaq, you know, Shaquille O'Neal. So that just sets the tone, you know, for anything else moving forward. LaDainian Tomlinson was a Jet for a while. Like, Phillip Rivers was a Colt for a couple years. Like, it happened. It's not like it's limited to the Chargers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a Jet. He is not a Packer. He is
Montana was a New York Jet.
Montana was a Chief, you know, like, yeah, that's Jerry Rice was a Bronco, you know, was a Raider, like that, like, you know, there's weird stuff that happens, you know. Roger Craig was a Chief. So yeah, it's the nature of this game where it is very hard. Very few people, you know, very few players are able to sustain later in their careers. And that makes it tough for teams. You don't want to pay the player for what he did. You want to pay him for what he's going to do. And it's a harsh reality. You can get away with it a little bit in the other sports because they have soft caps. The NFL does not. The NFL has a hard salary cap, and it makes it a little bit harder to keep those players around for sentimental reasons. But I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, that I just don't care. Like, oh, whatever, Keenan's gone, who cares? No, of course I want, you know, the captain. Like, I would love making those calls. Like, it's a, you know, and I, so yes, I'm bummed, but at the same time, I am ready. Since 2017, I've been able to call two playoffs. And in those two playoffs, there have been three games and one win. So I think the individual players, the individual calls will always be trumped by the playoff moments and the big plays in the postseason that lead to the divisional round, to the championship round, to a Super Bowl, to a championship. When they hired these two people, I want to just again remind the folks listening to the pod, hey, let's not forget how adamant you were about Harbaugh and no one else. It was Jim Harbaugh and nobody else in the coaching search. This is what you wanted. This is what you signed up for. Like, this, you didn't just sign up for the name and the guy who's quirky and fun, and you signed up for the wins.
Yep.
That's what you signed up for. And this is how he believes you win football games. The way that this team is being built, and Jesse Minter needs to have that pass rush. So they got Joey Bosa back, and they're going to connect him with Ben Herbert and see if there's some special sauce there. We're going to put you in our strength and conditioning program. You're not going back to Florida. The guy that you've been using has watched you get hurt every season of your career. So let's get with our guy, and let's see if we can figure this out and make sure you continue to make tens of millions of dollars every year because you have the talent. Unfortunately, your body is betraying you a little bit. So let's see if we can fix that. And I'm sure that's probably something that Joey thought about, you know, like, hey, I could, you know, they're going to give me an opportunity to stay here. Let's see if this guy who's been able to put all of these players in the NFL and make them a lot of money, you know, that we talk about, Ajabo, who had, you know, obviously the broken leg, which is why he didn't go in the first round, but Kwity Paye and Aiden Hutchinson and, you know, these defensive ends, let's see if I can get some of that special sauce that Ben Herbert's got going. And next thing you know, bounce back year for Joey, has a year like Khalil has, and you put him. And I think that's the other thing about bringing back Joey is, again, he's got to stay healthy. And Khalil's got to produce at age 33 as opposed to age 32. But we remember, it was such a sliver of time, Chris, but we remember what it looked like when Thule, Joey, and Khalil were on the field together. And yep, it was madness. It was mayhem. It was domination. And so I'm sure that's what Joe and Jim and Jesse saw. Like, hey, you know what? Let's see if we can do it. Let's roll the dice and see if we can get these three guys on the field. Because in what Minter likes to do, where you have no idea where it's coming from, you know, and it's typically five, maybe six guys on the line of scrimmage, and this guy's dropping out and this guy's coming, and you had no idea that this corner was set up to run with the wide receiver downfield, but now he's in the flat blowing up your running back that you did not know was going to happen. Like, I think that's the way they look at it, is we can really put an offense in conflict with those three guys on the field at the same time.
You play the odds for Joey. He's due for a healthy year. I mean, he is due for a healthy year. And you said it, man. Like, this Jim Harbaugh, this is what you signed up for. You signed up for wins, and he has won at every level doing it this way. And we are right at the beginning stages of all this. The NFL, the turnover in the NFL is remarkable every single year. And speaking of turnover, I just want to touch on some of these guys. We can get into these guys, excuse me, a little bit more next week, but really want to spend a lot of time on Keenan and Mike and some of the guys who have meant a lot to this organization who are in new places. But, I mean, you're already seeing kind of the identity that Jim Harbaugh and company want to play with offensively. You bring in Gus Edwards, a hammer, right? Yeah. Bradley Bozeman, looking like a potential starting center, at least for 2024. Puna Ford on the defensive side. Just the tight ends room that we talked about, Disley and Hayden Hurst. You are slowly starting to see what Jim Harbaugh wants to accomplish, and we have not even really hit that second, third wave of free agency and trades and obviously having a lot of picks in the draft money.
Yeah, and I think – you know, so much of it, too, is compensatories, signing guys that aren't going to affect your compensatory selections for next year. We've talked about how many picks do we think Joe Ortiz would like to have in this draft? Well, he's at 9 now. We said double digits. I think he's going to get there, and he's going to get to 10 or 11. You know, he's already at 9 with the Keenan trade and the extra 4th and the compensatory for Drew, the extra 7th. So they had 7. That was 8. Now he's got 9. I think he wants to get to 10. And I would assume that's what he wants moving forward. He's going to want 10 draft picks moving forward. So a lot of these signings are part of the whole compensatory. Now, Denzel counted against them, but the Michael Thomas thing balanced that out. Bradley Bozeman was cut by the Panthers, so that does not play into the compensatory formula. There you go. There's your starting center. And it's someone that obviously they drafted in Baltimore, loved in Baltimore, let walk in free agency for part of that compensatory pick formula because he signed a big money deal with the Panthers. And I think they had probably ended up getting a 4th or something like that for him. So don't forget that there's that level that's part of the operation in free agency, is they would prefer to sign guys that had been cut as opposed to guys that are walking and count against compensatory picks. The one that I'm sort of, there's two names that I'm really interested in free agency, and I'll just put them out there, and I get it. There could be an expiration date on it. So you know what? Let me just go into the old theredzone.com here real quick just to make sure.
Should I check Twitter in real time to make sure that this isn't going to be dated?
Well, it's interesting because here's one of the names at the top. Ex-Saints receiver, because I'm entering diversion in keys. Has been accepted into a pretrial diversion program to help him avoid trial stemming from his arrest last fall.
Who's
simple
this?
Battery. So what do we talk about with Keenan? It's catches. It's receptions, right? Yep. He's got the most 16 reception games. He's got the most 15 reception games. He's got the most 14 reception games. Who's the other guy in the league that piles up receptions? Just piles them up over and over and over again and has been derailed by injury, and you got to roll the dice that he's going to be healthy, and he's got a little bit of an off-field thing going right now, which is probably why he hasn't been signed yet. You know, it was he got into an issue with a construction worker that parked his truck in front of his house, and Michael Thomas got all pissed at him and kept asking him to move and slapped the phone out of his hand. And you know, it's one of those things, right? It's not like he beat the snot out of a guy. It was he got into an argument and threw his phone, and they got to figure that out. Michael Thomas had like 130 catches in a year. He's a big guy that operated a ton out of the slot for Sean Payton. Sound familiar?
A guy that Jim Harbaugh played against at the Ohio State as well, right? So, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, so, like, that's the thing, Chris, is it's like, that's what Keenan was. Big guy in the slot, ton of catches. So Michael Thomas is out there, and I don't know what his, let me see if I go to wide receivers. I don't know if he was, I can't remember if they extended him and he was cut or if they gave him just a 1-year deal and he was, let me see what he was.
Michael Thomas got into it with the friend of the program, Jeff Duncan, last week, it looks like.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he did.
Well, you know,
little expat. Nothing a little expat.
He's a fiery guy. Yeah. All right, let's go transaction contract details. Okay, so 29 through 24, 5 year, 925,000. Looks like so is that the, because it looks like there's void years on here for 25, 26, 27. So I think they added all the void years. And the new rule, it's not new, it's a couple years old, but is you can't cut a player, you can't just decline void years after you've added them and expect to be rewarded with compensatory selection. So I'm not super well-versed on this, but it looks like he was on a 1 year. So I think that was the prior year, but I'm seeing all of these void years here. I'm talking too much about it. Whatever. I just want to make sure I stay consistent with the compensatory formula thing. But
it's a name to know. It's a name to know. What about Tyler Boyd? Is Tyler Boyd been signed yet? Cincinnati Bengals, Tyler Boyd?
I don't know. But Michael Thomas is the one. The other one, Chris, J.K. Dobbins. I want to see, like, I'd roll the dice on him, man. I would roll the dice on the ACL and the, and I don't know if we talked, I might have talked about this with Popper last week, I think. So you were out of, but I brought this up last week with Popper. I'll just reiterate it. He's still out there. Those are the two names, you know, that I think offensively I would like to see and I think would fit in perfectly on 1 year prove it deals. Michael Thomas is 31. So 31, 20, he just turned 31. So he's a year younger than Keenan. But a very similar profile when you talk about size, stature. He's a 6'3" guy that plays in the slot, that catches a ton of balls, and you can get him at a discount. And same thing with Dobbins because of the ACL and the Achilles combined. He's a legitimate top five back in this league if he's healthy.
Yeah. I was going to say the Achilles was this past year because I think he was rehabbing with Rodgers early in the season too. So be interesting to see what his progress has been this offseason. And maybe that's a late offseason pickup or somebody that you could scoop up later.
He's so young. It'll be almost, you know, when you talk about the Achilles, it's, you know, it because he's so young, I think he'd probably be ready to go by training camp. Would be my guess.
Yeah.
So, and especially if you're just running him in a platoon with Gus, like they did, you know, out there. So yeah, JK, he's 25, you know, he's 25 and there, you know, Spotrac is saying that he's $2.1 million prove it deal. That's what they figure he's getting. So
great.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Done.
Exactly. And you know, maybe that's a post draft thing too. Maybe you see what's out there. You see who the Chargers can get in the draft, if anybody, Lloyd from USC.
Yeah.
It's just, there's a lot of potential options in that third, fourth round that may make a lot of sense for what Jim Harbaugh wants to accomplish. I'm so excited. Like the next 30 days, rather, is going to be a blast. Just talking about the draft and just kind of putting all these puzzle pieces together. We got to get some more guests on. Like you said, Joel Klatt would be great. Get some other draft analysts as we get closer.
I'll finish that too, by the way, just to give Klatt all his flowers.
Yeah.
Bowers at 11, Guyton at 23. So right tackle, weapon, offensive weapon.
Great.
Jim Harbaugh football. Again, it's a guy that called probably 30 Jim Harbaugh Michigan games over his career, if not more, which means all of those production meetings, talking to Jim Harbaugh about what are you looking to do? What is it you're trying to accomplish today? How's the offense? Remember, that's when you're doing TV, you have what's called a production meeting and you sit with the head coach and typically both coordinators, and then they'll offer up one or two players is what you get when you call a TV game. And so he's talking to Jim Harbaugh that much, to Jesse Minter that much, to the offensive coordinator of the Jim Harbaugh offense, all of those times. He knows how they want to play football. And in his mock draft, the first one he gave him Brock Bowers at 5. Second one he had him trade back to 11, pick up 23 from Minnesota and go right tackle, tight end. So I think it's important to keep it in context before you start getting your hopes up about, and I can't say it enough. I would love Marvin Harrison Jr. I would love Malia. I want to call the explosive plays. Yeah. I want to call the touchdowns. I want to call the first downs on first and 10 that go 35 yards down the field that we've never had here. Like, yes, I want to call that. I want Malik Nabers. I want Marvin Harrison. I want Roma Dunsay. Would love it. I just don't think that's the way he plays football. I don't think that's necessarily where he places value of a number five overall pick. I just don't. It's hard for me to envision them saying, yeah, this is our path, as opposed to let's trade back, pick up a couple more picks where we can get a couple more linebackers, linemen, interior defensive linemen, etc., to help this team out.
It certainly makes it intriguing, though, Money, when not only Keenan but also Mike leaves. It makes the cupboard a little bit bare at that position. A lot of exciting options at five. You know that probably two of those three guys at least are going to be staring at you in the face at five, yeah. And it could be tempting. But I think Chargers fans need to go with the mantra in Joe and in Jim we trust, and just see what April brings. But so excited to be back with you, Money. We'll pick it up next Thursday. And anything else you want to touch on before we roll out of here, bro?
Yeah, because you said it there. In Joe and Jim we trust. So I'll leave you with this. All the fans that hate me right now because I'm not mocking Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Chargers.
Nobody hates Matt Money Smith, okay?
Oh, they do. They're upset with me right now because they want the receiver, which is fine. I get it. I do too. But I'll say this. Here is your lane. Here's the lane that you can drive in if that's what you want and you really want it to happen. Baltimore Ravens always take best player available. So yeah, on their board, if Marvin Harrison is the number one player and the next player is graded, you know, well below him, they'll take him. And Ortiz will talk to Jim and just say, look, you, when you're in this position, you got to take the blue chip. You got to take the sure thing. And this is what we feel the best about. This is the guy that is graded the highest from all of our scouts and all of our personnel directors. This guy has the best grade and it's not close from the next guy we could take. So let's just follow our board and let's do it. So there you go. That's that. And that is, I think, a very real possibility because that is how they operate in Baltimore. They always take best player regardless of position. So,
and that's what we've been hearing, that the receivers are the best players in this draft. So we got 5 more weeks.
So there you go.
Until we know, we'll talk, we'll gossip about it for the next 5 weeks. And we'll see you next Thursday. For Matt Money Smith, I'm Chris Harris.